Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.
All right, let's do this. How are you, what the fuckers, what the fuck buddies, what the fuck Knicks, what's happening? I'm Mark Maron. This is my podcast. How's it going? What's happening? Today, people, Eddie Pepitone. Eddie Pepitone is here. He's probably been on more episodes of WTF than any other guest, 24 times. That's crazy. Oh, I know why. Because in the first 2 years of the show, we did a lot of live ones and we did a lot of shorties, but we didn't, I don't know. We never did a full length one-on-one talk with no one else on the mics. So this is a historical day. It's Eddie Pepitone Day. Yes. Look, I'm going to be in, Atlanta, Georgia tomorrow night it's in Buckhead. I don't know if that's sold out or not. Here are the new cities and dates I've announced for my tour this year. I got Asheville, North Carolina, Nashville, Tennessee, Louisville, Kentucky, and Lexington, Kentucky. Those are from like August 8th through 11th. Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo, Monterey, California, August 22nd through 24th. Iowa City and Des Moines, Iowa, September 5th and 6th. And Kansas City, Missouri on September 7th. Tucson, AZ, September 20th, Oklahoma City, Dallas, Houston, and San Antonio. Oh, my God. October 3rd through 6th, Boulder, Colorado, October 19th, Joliet, Illinois, Skokie, Illinois, and Grand Rapids, Michigan. That's in October 24th through 26th. And I just added Napa, California on November 9th. You can go to WTFpod.com/tour for all the venues and for the links to the tickets. And I've got all those dates that are coming up in the next few weeks, too. My God, this is it, though. As you know, as I always say, this is probably the last one. I don't know what's going to happen. The shows have been good. I don't mind being out there, but I did get pretty exhausted. The last time I went out there, I don't know what it was. But in looking back on it, in Providence, Rhode Island, I ate at a place called the Plant Factory. And it was good, but they had these onion rings. And they were like heavy, big-ass onion rings. And they were just fried and had like a real thick batter to it. They were fucking amazing. But in all honesty, I do think it took me a week to recover from it, both physically, mentally, energy-wise. So I got to be careful out there. Got to be careful, man. I got to be careful on the road. With the with onion rings, with too much fried food. It's the tricky thing about the vegan thing. Sometimes you got to find the place. And also, hey, thank God, right? Thank God this is my problem now. Where do I find something to eat that's not going to exhaust me or ruin my body? It's a little easier now. At least I'm not doing the drugs, right? Not out there partying. Could you imagine that at fucking 60? Being out there, hitting that shit, the booze, the drugs. It's my 25th year sober. It's fucking crazy. But you know what's even crazier? Is that I had a weed dream last night. A weed dream. And they're not dramatic. They're just like, but it was one of those dreams where I woke up and I felt like I'd smoked weed. And in that waking consciousness, I was like, have I always been smoking weed? How many times have I smoked weed since I've been sober? Am I living a double life of a weed smoker? And I just remember it's a dated weed dream. Because you know, when I did weed, they didn't have it in stores. Like you couldn't just go buy it. Like I've noticed people who smoke weed now, they'll just leave roaches around. They'll put them out in an ashtray like a fucking cigarette with plenty of weed left in it. That's fucking crazy. Back in my day, you smoked that thing down. You smoked that roach down to you, burnt your fingers, and there was nothing but maybe a centimeter of resin-soaked rolling paper left. And if you were industrious or whatever the word is, you could throw that in a pipe with a half-loaded bowl and kind of get that resin hit. But that's old-school stuff. But in the dream, for some reason, I was opened the trunk of a car, and there was a roach in there. And, you know, there was a couple of guys with me. I don't know who they were. And, you know, we're just hitting on this roach like it was the last bit of weed on the planet Earth. And I felt in my dream that compulsion, that need, like, you know, this is amazing. I gotta smoke this, man. And, I woke up high, kinda, or guilty, or not knowing what was real and what wasn't. But it's not always a great sign when you're a sober person to have the old drug dream. Maybe it's some sort of like, hey, pal, maybe you should go to a thing. Why don't you go to the clubhouse? And do a secret society meetup. Why don't you do that? I did do one. Last week, it was a specific one I ended up at for weed. Actually, because I brought a friend there, and maybe that's what did it. It didn't plant the message of recovery in my brain. It planted the message of weed. Oh, my God. Let's break it down, people. Let's fucking break this down. Should we? Is there part of my brain? Look, I don't think about booze. I don't think about blow. I don't think about meat. I don't think about fish. Not that they're all similar. All right? But these are things I don't do anymore, and I no longer have the obsession to do them. But I think we should acknowledge together that the weed dream was pretty specific. And I have to think about that. My question is there some part of me inside that's sort of like, dude, you know, when you get to the other side of it, like, let's say, you know, you finally figure out a way to wind down, pull out, and go sit somewhere, perhaps in New Mexico, perhaps in another cabin-like place, somewhere. Is there part of me that's sort of like, yeah, then I can sit down, smoke some weed. Finally, I can reward myself for a lifetime of sobriety and hard work and just fall into a perpetual cloud of cannabis. Yes. Just sitting there, old man Marin. Would it be okay if I pulled out my my old-timey pot pipe that I used to carry around my pocket? Just me and my, not even an old man, kind of classic old man, not a corn cob pipe, just a little kind of a teak wood, kind of little teeny, just me holding a little teeny pot pipe on my porch, eyelids half open, thinking the big thoughts, understanding the big things, connected to all of it. Man, I'm making a good case for the big payoff, for the finally. And I can just go into a store when I'm 70 and be like, I'd like to buy me some weed for the first time in 40 years, however long it takes. Oh, man, I got to deal with this. Going to have to nip it in the bud, the stinky bud, right? Am I right? Don't worry about me. I'm okay. I'm just living. I'm just doing a little fantasy. I'm just doing a little kind of but isn't that weird that when you have that kind of brain, like what is the big payoff? I already figure, obviously, no kids, got some money saved, but it's going to be me sitting there with me, maybe somebody else. And it's like, what is it? What is the trophy? What's the big win? But when you got an addict brain, it's sort of like, finally, I can sit down and just smoke a bowl after 40 years. That's crazy. Because right now I'm back in the nicotine loop with these dumb Zins, and like, you know, it starts off sort of like, hey, these are better. Like, I just do a few a day, but it just fucking escalates. God damn, it never ends. But I'm okay. I'm all right. Doing the gym. everything's all right. I'm going to do some ankle stabilizing exercises. Got a new pair of boots. I'm all right. We're going out there. Hey, I'm going to do a music show at Largo. It's up, I think it's on the 27th. It's at the website. If you're in LA, I can tell you the song list, if that'll entice you. I don't know who the other comics are, but it's me and the band. I think I want to call the band the Song Butchers. But we're going to do He's Gone by the Dead. We're going to redo Photograph by Ringo Starr, which we haven't done in a while. We're going to do You Can't Put Your Arms Around a Memory, Johnny Thunders. And we're going to do Wild One Forever, Tom Petty's first album. We're going to do Going, Going, Gone, because that's just become necessary, the Dylan song. And I think we might do I'm Waiting for the Man, the Lou Reed tune, because Keith did it. I think maybe we should do a version of that. But I'm also toying with the idea of Alejandro Escovedo's Last to Know. I talked to Alejandro. That'll be coming up in the future. That album, Alejandro Escovedo's Gravity, is one of the best albums ever. And I was so thrilled to talk to him, but I'll talk about that more when he's here. All right, so do we do all the business? I'm not going to smoke weed. Don't worry, I'm not. Oh, my God. So much weed around. I'm not building toward it. This isn't a cry for help. I know where I'm at. Just sharing a dream that I had, the feelings that it made me feel, and also, you know, a possible future plan, but way down the road, way down the road. Don't worry about it. It's not real. It's just a fantasy. You know what I mean? Kind of like The Cabin. All right. Eddie Pepitone is one of the greats, one of the underappreciated greats, and I love him. You can listen to Eddie's podcast, Apocalypse Soon. And if you're in Chicago, Eddie just announced that he'll be taping his new special at Lincoln Hall on Friday, May 31st. Go to eddiepepitone.com for tickets and to check out his other tour dates. This is me and the wonderful Eddie Pepitone.
Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.
Yeah. Injuries. Wow.
What do you got?
I tore my Achilles first on my left foot, then on my right foot, 10 years apart, both times playing basketball, but tearing your Achilles, man.
How do you even fix that?
Surgery.
The way they got to stitch it back together, they got to reach up and pull it down like a fucking rubber band.
Yeah.
And try to.
Yeah. Ugh. First time,
yeah.
I had just gotten a Colorado.
What? What do you mean? You just gotten a Colorado?
I had just gotten to Colorado. Oh,
to Colorado.
To teach kids improv in a place called Perry Mansfield Performing Arts Camp. Wait,
is
or whatever.
This, is this some other life you led?
A little bit.
Fucking. I have to get a special mixer for your fucking laugh.
Look at all these fucking guitars.
There's only a few. Wait, so tell me. Okay, so you get out there.
Oh, dude, first night.
Where was it? Wait, so what era was this of Eddie Pepitone? Is this earlier, just, you know, just post New York?
Let's see, I'm 60 fucking five now.
How you feeling?
I feel good because. Yeah?
Any heart problems?
I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, man.
Yeah.
The doctor, like years ago, told me you have a calcified.
Yeah, I got some of that.
You do?
Calcified, the calcium
neck. Count was.
Neck? What do you mean neck?
I guess there's a neck artery.
I got some plaque in my pump. Checked it like a decade ago.
Right.
I got the calcium scan because Kenler was like, oh, you can just go pay for it. Just go to Cedar Sinai and pay cash. Get the Colosseum scan. I'm like, okay. You know they got a full body now that you can pay a flat fee and they'll fucking CAT scan your whole body or MRI it or something. Full body scan.
Why would you just pay a flat fee? You have health coverage, right?
Yeah, because it's not something your health coverage. Yeah, you're just sort of like, hey, I'm a fucking nut job. And I thought maybe this full body scan would be good for me. What do you think? Will you pay the $25K or $10K or whatever the fuck it is?
Is it that much?
I don't know. Ask. Don't you have any rich friends? Ask Apatow. I think he got it.
You didn't get it then?
No.
How come? You're rich.
I didn't know it was an option. And I don't know if I want to do that.
I just found out about it.
I like to
they
go.
They scared me. The fuck. I went to Cedar Sinai for this scan.
Yeah.
And this fucking cardiologist. Yeah. I was doing the vegan thing back then.
I'm vegan now. Over a year.
Is that right? Good for you, man. I did it.
I remember when you did it.
Close to 8 years.
Look, you know, you've tried a lot of things.
I have. I'm trying these supplements now, medical grade glucathione.
But what does medical grade garbage mean?
I don't know why you're so angry at that.
I'm not.
I take
all kinds of fucking supplements.
I guess, they're very expensive.
But what
made
company?
Made by doctors, it's called. That's the name of the company.
Oh, they got you on the hook, huh? Yeah, made by doctors. That's a hustle. What brand supplement do you have?
Frank, put on the machine that makes the pills.
Yeah.
The fuck are you doing?
We're going to sell these in a lab coat. These fuckers will come crawling to us. Glucathione.
Yeah. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I think maybe
I'm supposed to clear out your liver, and I do feel better. I've had, you know what, man? I've had a bad fucking stomach for a long time.
How's your pancreas? You know anything about it? What do you know about the pancreas?
We should be on a park bench.
Yeah, we are.
We are.
This is what happens. Anywhere there are guys over 60 talking, it's a park bench. I'm doing a new joke about how you get to a certain age, every conversation you have with somebody about your age is sort of a personal-based trivia game. Where was that place we went that time? Santa Fe? Yes. All right, that's one for you. All right, you go.
The glucathione is like my latest little...
Made by doctors.
Doctor, yeah.
That's the brand?
Doctors Made. That's the brand.
It's called Doctors Made?
Something like that, made by doctors. I don't fucking know. But I have to tell you, I feel better.
Sure.
I feel, I don't know if it's psychological, but my stomach has felt better. I was taking, this is really
let's
funny.
Let's pull the mic back a little, just because you laugh. With
yeah,
so
yeah.
Long.
This was really, yeah. I it's just so funny that I'm Go about ahead. To mention me taking antacids at night, yeah. every night, famotidine or something.
Sure.
And then my fucking gastroenterologist, yeah. I do all these through Cedar Sinai. You know, yeah. I try to get the best.
Do you call it Sinai when you get there? Or
how is it pronounced? Sinai? Sinai.
No, look how it's spelled. I'm such an asshole. Sinai.
Sinai.
There's
what
no
did
Y
I say?
In there. You're like, Sinai? You're very close to cyanide. Cedar Sinai.
Oh, cyanide.
All right, so the gastroenterologist.
Anyway,
you had a
this
bad
is
stomach.
So funny. I'm just thinking that I try
let's
not.
Let's finish one. Let's try to land one thing. So the gastroenterologist said what about the antacids?
I get a colonoscopy
yeah.
every 3 years.
I'd get one every week just to fucking clean out my system like that. Okay, so how did it end with the gastroenterologist? What did he say?
Well, this, you know, I think he's really good, but these fucking antacids, famotidine, they then said they give you cancer. Do you remember that about a certain antacid?
No, I'm not. I'm not reading the same papers you are. I mean, I don't keep up.
It's my college newspaper. God, that's the only one I read. College of Staten Island, which
they're the cutting edge of truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah, in research.
Absolutely. Pete Davidson, the editor.
Yeah. So, okay, so he said get off of those because they cause cancer. And then what are you doing for the stomach? Anything?
Now this glucathione really helps.
Oh, so this is where we're at with the glucathione, by doctors.
Medical grade is where they get you, you know, where I'm like, wow.
Made by doctors and medical grade. That's a double whammy for a sucker.
Yeah. Oh, you think it's a sucker? Yeah. I feel like
I'm not the only one that thinks that.
Is that right?
What about vitamins?
I mean, these aren't vitamins.
Oh, why?
They're
supplements.
Yes, that's what I would say.
Okay, so, okay, that's an interesting differentiation.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know. I feel.
Is there a way that we would call? Would we call a vitamin a supplement?
Yes, that's true.
So, yeah.
I don't take a lot of vitamins anymore.
I take a bunch, and I'm not trying to be a dick. I mean, I take.
No, I know.
I got a vitamin sponsor now, Solgar. Old school.
Oh, yeah, that's old school. Yeah.
I take a bunch. I kind of think that red rice yeast lowers my cholesterol a little bit.
Oh, that's why you went vegan,
borderline.
Is that right?
Yeah, borderline, not high. It's really not high. It wasn't high. Oh. It was just a little over, you know? So
did
I take
you panic and
no, I didn't panic, but I knew I had the gunk in my pump, so I didn't want to fucking add more shit. And you know, after I got a colonoscopy, I was like, I'm gonna just go vegan then, and it stuck. Oh. And I like cooking for the vegan thing, and I've been totally good about it.
What about the road? When you do the road,
I'll find places. Most cities have places, vegan places, or Whole Foods, or some way how you can make buy. Oh, and the thing is, if you're on the road. Mm. And you're there for like, you know, 3-4 meals, whether it's, you know, you get there, dinner, you know, breakfast, lunch. If you find one good vegan place, you can do all fucking 3 meals there.
True.
Right? So,
true.
So that's, you know, that works out. Usually works out.
Right.
I'll bring protein with me in case.
The
powder.
Powders.
Sometimes I bring a bag of
hemp. Hemp
bag
powder?
Of nuts. I don't like the taste of hemp.
Oh, it's
terrible.
Terrible, yeah.
I like soy, old school.
Yeah.
Soy milk, old school, Eden soy, the classic. Eden soy original. I'm all about it.
Yeah, I still don't do much dairy, but I kind of snapped after 8 or 9 years. And
yeah, it's a long time. I mean, you know.
Do you see yourself doing it? Or you don't know?
You did what you could. You know what I mean? But, all right, getting back. So now we know we've got one through line here that, you know, we landed at the glucathione. We got the full backstory. Now, somehow or another, you tore your Achilles tendon teaching improv to children in Colorado.
30 years ago.
30 years ago. So where were you at in your career?
Ooh. I was in New York, and I was in an improv company called Chicago City Limits.
Sure, I remember them.
You do?
Kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like this. It was like a Second City knockoff.
Kind of.
Yeah.
And they did short form, they call it, short form improv, where it was games, you know, like we would play Jeopardy, the audience would yell out the answer, like frog, and you would go, what I have in my throat right now, like just kind of bullshit.
Hilarious.
And I was, you know me, like I... Dana Gould has called me the human id. Mm. And so I was really the human id back then, just this pent up craziness, and playing games like that didn't help me.
It didn't help you. I just want to make a note here. Do you remember how fucking annoyed you got when I said, like I've always said?
No, it wasn't that. You said, I didn't get annoyed. I just started laughing. You said, you know, that reminds me of something I once said.
Okay, you're the guy that just said, Dana Gould has called me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is that also very egotistical?
Well, it's referencing, you know, a comic we both respect.
Right.
In order to sort of, you know, heighten your...
Oh, you mean I shouldn't have mentioned who?
It's nice. Well, Dana's great. I just was trying to, you know, It reminds me of
something. I don't think it was the same level of yours.
Well, you know, that, was that reminded me of something. Well, you think it was condescending? That reminded me of something I once said.
It still kills me.
Yeah, so you're the human id. That's true. So
no, but
then,
I mean,
back then you were crazy, and you know but what's happened over time is whatever that was, because you've gotten older and more experienced, is that now you can sort of drop into it and get out of it. You don't have to live in it.
Yes, that's very true.
Right?
That's very
true. I mean,
true.
If this were even 10 years ago, you'd be yelling already. You'd be like, Mark! I'd have to record it differently. I'd have to put you in the corner over there and mic the room.
Man, I look back. I don't know if you do that, but yeah. I look back on, because you seem to be, I don't know, your arc is pretty amazing too. But you seem to be a lot more even keel to me. But man, looking back on,
we're both sweaty, yelling people.
Were you yelling as well?
Not like you.
No,
I mean, but no. I was yelling in my private life. I didn't do
it. Right. I wouldn't yell in my private. In my private life, I would be seething.
Just quietly seething.
Yes.
And occasionally laughing in between bites of something.
Exactly. Oh my God! So
you're okay. So you're at this. You're doing the improv, Chicago City Limits. You're playing short form improv. Doing games.
Games.
This is
games,
your life.
Shit.
Who's in that improv group? Anybody we know?
Sean Conroy.
Oh, sure. I know Sean. How's that guy doing? I feel like he just reached out to me for some reason, and I forgot to get back to him. It's so weird. I read emails, and I answer them in my head, but I don't answer them in reality.
You must have a lot of email and
not
stuff
that. I mean,
like
I,
that.
Not really. I guess so. But I just forget. It's weird. Something, you read them, and you have your side of the conversation in your head. And then you look back and you're like, holy fuck, I didn't get back to this guy a month ago.
Well, the technology is such to the point now, or getting to that point, where you'll be able to compose an email in your head and just kind of top your nose and hit send.
Really? Well, I don't even think it'd be called an email at that point. Let's see. Let's see what, like, all right, so Sean Conroy's in it.
Anyway, so Sean was in it. I'm trying to think if you would know any other people in it. Not really. I don't think so, but talented,
right here.
Funny.
I got it.
What?
Hey, Mark, I have my doubts you'll even get this, but I figured it was worth a try. That was 2 weeks ago. That was from Sean.
I probably gave it to him.
My email address?
Probably.
Why'd you fucking do that?
Because I knew you wouldn't mind.
He probably wants me to do a podcast, right?
I don't know.
Come
on.
I
have no idea.
What else is there? Why would anyone reach out to anybody anymore? Other than do a podcast.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm doing a podcast now, Apocalypse Soon, where I am just, like you said, can we land one thought?
Yeah.
And what I like about what I do is that I can just free associate absurdly.
Yeah.
Because making sense to me is highly overrated.
Sure.
Like linear logic.
Right.
Is just bullshit, and I think it's actually anathema to a comic. I think when I go on stage and I'm trying to, like, okay, I want to convey this thought to the audience, it really isn't the best way to do stand-up or comedy in general. I always – do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you're saying that you write things down that you don't like and somehow – and then you get on stage and you just wing it. Some of those things come up. Some of them don't. Some of them come up many times, but you're not going to call those a regular bit because it's not what you do.
Oh, man. You know, that's just what you were just talking about. Just reminds me of how disorganized I am.
Yeah.
But I don't give a shit. But then when I am getting ready to do a special, which is what I am getting ready to do in May. I haven't done one in like 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
Then I'm like, ooh, time to pay the piper because
what's working, what isn't working?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not that organized about, like, people ask me, my manager, director too, yeah. Steven, Fine Arts, and he'll say, okay, so what have you been working on? And
yeah.
I go, I don't know. I've been having a good time, though, and I've been really killing.
Yeah, I did. I understand exactly what you're saying. Just an aside, how long did Steven Fine Arts follow you around when he made the documentary?
I think it was a little over a year.
Really? I'm going on three.
Are you really?
Yeah. You might want to ask him what he's doing.
I know that he's very committed to it.
No, we're doing good. I'm making a joke.
Yeah.
It just kept going. It just keeps going. You know, I think
you're a bigger project.
How could I be a bigger project than you?
Well, I think that you know, there's more involved probably with
all right.
you.
So your process, I get the process. I don't know if it's linear thought necessarily as much as it is this follows that. So I guess that's linear thought. But you're not saying you break down logic. I mean, you just like to riff. And but you are talking about things that you want answers to, or you want to express your anger about, or your concern about.
Yeah.
You just want to wing it, you know, but in terms of, but there is, maybe I don't know what linear thought is, but it's not like you're just out there floating in some sort of, you know, random worded universe.
No, right. I'm not out there like an Ionesco play.
That's right. No, right. Okay, there you go. See, that's right. And
I always remember a play called The Chairs.
Said the guy that has done an Ionesco play. How long ago did you do the Ionesco play?
Right after I tore the Achilles. It was part of the healing process.
Get your mind off it. Get your mind off the Achilles. Oddly, Achilles was in the Ionesco play. He was referred to in the Ionesco play,
along with
a saucer and a cup. So,
by the way,
yeah.
When I tore that Achilles, I had one of the best doctors in the world.
In Colorado. So going back to that, so you're in the improv group, and they just send people out? How'd you get the gig?
Yeah. What happened was that one of the guys I was performing with, a guy named Rob Schiffman, the musical director of Chicago City Limits.
You mean he
by the way, I was the worst. Yes. He played the piano. How'd you know that? That's what they do in improv, right?
That's what musical directors in improv groups
do. Yeah. But he was doing this teaching gig, and he asked me if I wanted to come.
Oh, so you're going with him?
I went.
You and Schiffman?
Me, Schiffman, and one of his friends, an actor.
Going out to Colorado?
We drove from New York, which was a fun fucking drive.
Was
it? It was so much.
That can go either way.
Oh, yeah.
You like these guys?
I like these guys, and it was like the driving was so brutal in a way, and I'll never forget, we stopped. Rob had a friend whose dad and mom, and the friend was gone, but his dad and mom said, we could put you up for the night, and it was in Nebraska, and I'll never forget, we were so exhausted.
You're driving to Colorado from New York?
Yeah.
And you're in Nebraska.
Does that not make sense?
Not quite.
Does it? Really?
Huh.
I'm almost positive it was Lincoln.
Seems like you might have missed a turn.
Is that right?
I don't think so, but
I
go
think
ahead.
You should check that out because Rob was trying to do something.
All right, so you're in Nebraska at Rob's friend's
parents'
house.
And I'll never forget a lightning storm that happened right before we got to this guy's house. Like such intense, beautiful lightning. Was lighting up the sky. Look at you. It's like you're looking up medical grade glucathione with the expression on your face.
Sure, I quite. All right. Yeah, I mean, depending where.
So it's not crazy.
No, you just have to come down. And I guess if, like, I think that if
we
I
were
was,
going to Colorado Springs. No. Was it Colorado? No, we weren't going to Colorado Springs. It was gorgeous where we were. Steamboat Springs. Where all the skiers go.
Yeah, sure.
We were in the summer, though.
So, yeah, so you came across, and you came across Iowa, right?
Yeah.
In the top of Illinois. Mm-hmm. And then you just go down into Colorado. Yeah, it's fine. That's fine.
That's fine. But anyway, we get to this guy's house,
yeah.
Mark. This guy
the
and
parents.
His wife. And we're just a wreck from driving, I don't know how many hours without stopping.
We were smoking a lot of weed?
We were smoking weed as well. So
yeah.
We looked like, I don't know, you know, just malfeasance.
Yeah.
Like we looked rogue.
Yeah.
We looked like we were outside of society.
Well, you are a part of an improv group. So you are out of society.
You know, one of my lines.
That's what people.
Still do. Yeah. I still do this. I go. Do you know how many improv groups perished during the pandemic? And I wait a beat, and I go, not enough. If you see an improv group, say something.
Yeah.
These people encourage each other. They're basically orthodontists trying to say they're funny in the evenings or
yeah,
whatever.
Yeah. Good. See how you. You drop into the anger now? Like you can it's
Is so, that is that anger? I don't think so.
But I'm just saying what I'm noticing is because back in the day,
yeah.
You know when you were, you know, an uncontrollable human id as Dana
yes.
Gould has observed about you is that you couldn't just drop into it. You were living it. And just then you just in order to do your bit, you're like, "You guys gonna, you know," and you get right into it.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're at the guy's parents' house.
Anyway, so we get out of the car. We're exhausted. And we're on the, you know, we look like we're on the margins of society, which we were. And these people had this beautiful home. And the guy was one of these guys with, like, checkered pants, like a pretty big belly, but his shirt's tucked in.
Sure. Pants are high.
Pants are high. Mm. Shirt. Tucked in.
It's like a Jeff Altman bit. Oh, I'll tell
Jeff
you.
Altman.
Yeah, yeah.
I was just going to bring him up. Anyway, he was so straight-laced.
Yeah.
And he tells us, we're exhausted.
Yeah.
It's about 1 a.m.
Yeah.
When we get there.
Oh, so you woke him up and he's still
wearing
the pants?
Yeah, but he knew we were coming. But he goes, you guys are going to have to be out of here at 6 a.m.
Yeah.
Because I'm going golfing.
Oh. At 1 in the morning, he's telling you that?
Yes.
So this guy tells you to go by his parents' house, and they don't even trust you or like you.
That's right. And we started laughing in front of him.
At 1 in the morning?
Uncontrollably.
Yeah.
In his kitchen, immaculate
kitchen.
You know, one of those kitchens where it's so immaculate, you know there's a psychosis or—
an OCD or, you know, some control freak in the house.
Yeah.
Probably the mom.
I don't know, but it was so funny to us. Mm. And we're kind of like laughing so hard. And, you know, it was one of those things where you're not supposed to laugh.
Sure.
So we laughed harder. But anyway, it was a nice trip to Colorado.
Where'd you sleep? On the floor?
In the basement on the floor. Yeah.
That guy really helped you out.
Yo! He really did. What a nice night.
All right, so how do we get to...
So that's what I want to say is I get to... It's called Perry Mansfield. I don't know if it's there anymore. Perry Mansfield Performing Arts.
Okay.
I get there the first night.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. I had never been to Colorado.
Yeah.
I was only in my 30s. And I just see these beautiful mountains ringed with, you know, their pink sunsets in Colorado.
It's great.
Beautiful.
Love
up
it.
In
Steamboat. Sure. Yeah.
I'm playing basketball with the art teacher, Emil.
This is how it happened? So what, you just get a pickup game with the art teacher at the
school? Yeah, just one-on-one.
One-on-one you're going at it.
Thin air.
It is thin air.
Right?
Yeah, but what's that got to do with your foot?
I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe the oxygen didn't make it down to the foot. Anyway, with an Achilles, I felt like I went up for a shot.
Yeah.
And I heard and felt.
Pop.
You hear the pop.
Pop, yeah. I heard my bone pop.
You did? In the foot?
Uh-huh.
So, and then you feel like, I turned around and said, did someone throw a rock at my ankle? But then the weirdest thing is I put my foot down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what's wrong with this pavement? Your foot.
It's wobbly?
It's, yeah.
It's got no stability? Oh, my God.
How about that?
When did the pain start?
Pretty much
right after you realized it wasn't the pavement.
But it's still in my head. The pain is immense because I'm still going. Maybe because I didn't want the whole summer was going to be fucked. I was ready to be there.
You don't want to have an injury.
Not like that.
Any injury. This one, like you know, I had the mental fortitude and discipline that I have to exude right now. to not be furious that I injured myself at age 60. You know, because this is like, I was talking about this on stage last night. Like, when you're this old, one thing happens and then it's over. You're like, all of a sudden, it's like, he was doing fine. And then he just injured his foot.
Well,
and now look at him. He's living in a box.
Usually it's a fall. Usually it's a fall.
Yeah.
For
a hip
people.
Thing. Right. A hip thing.
He
this
fell.
Was a fall. This was a fall.
He fell, and now he's kept in a vat of blue liquid.
I guess that's better than a box. Doesn't imply anything.
Yeah. So, but that summer was fucked.
You were supposed to be there the whole summer?
What?
You were supposed to be there the whole summer?
Yeah, but check it out. So I get surgery by the team doctor. At the time, he was the team doctor of the Seattle Seahawks. So
he was at the school? How'd you hook up with that guy?
He was at the local hospital. And the reason why he's at the local hospital is that they have so many ACL injuries from skiing and ankles and knees that he was up there.
What's his name?
I don't remember.
Oh, you got to remember that shit.
I don't remember.
I went to a camp in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
Lighthouse Arts and Music Camp, Pottsville, Pennsylvania.
This was kind of an arts camp.
Yeah.
How was it?
It was great. I went 2 years in a row. And for some reason, I think they let us smoke. Or maybe we were just doing it. But that was like a high point.
No kids.
Yeah. Smoke time. No, yeah. Those of you who want a nap can nap. The rest of you can smoke. Smoke them if you got them. But you just sat around, played guitar all day and did art and watched other people do art. There was like visual.
Any romance?
When I was there, not really. There was visual arts. Mm. One time my parents sent me to two camps. And then I started to realize, like, they just want us out of the house. This is not about us. It's about them.
Yeah.
I went to tennis camp. I didn't love it. My brother was a tennis guy.
I was
guy.
Sent to Auschwitz. No.
Yeah. Go take it in. Get a job at Auschwitz for the summer. Maybe you can make sure the pile of shoes is dusted.
God. What? Shoe detail. Yeah, then we get to play the guitar.
Yeah. So I went there one summer with I had broken my ankle. And I went to camp with a fucking broken ankle.
So you have a weakness. Same foot? Do you
same
remember?
Foot, yeah. I broke this ankle weakness. And this leg. But I didn't break the ankle.
And the leg.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, so I go, and I'm just fucking off with this cast. My dad said it. He was orthopedic. So I go with a cast, and I'm playing soccer or something, and I break the fucking cast. So I went through two casts up there. So the camp nurse has got to drive me to the doctor. And I remember one time we stopped at Muhammad Ali's training camp, which was in Pennsylvania, sort of on the way to one of the hospitals we went to. And I think I saw from a distance Muhammad Ali's shoulders. Like, yeah, he wasn't working out that day, but I think in a door, in a screen door, I saw the back of his head. And then we drove off. I was so in love with this nurse, too. She was so helpful, and I really had a crush on her.
Yeah.
And I was just the bane of her existence, really. And then she drove
me. How old were you?
I don't know, 15?
Okay.
14, 15?
I was in my 30s.
Yeah, and then, but I remember the doc, because my dad was an orthopedic, so I got to go see an orthopedic in a city. I feel like I went to Pottsville or something. Yeah. I don't know where the camp
That's
was.
That's where It's A Wonderful Life was filmed.
Pottsville, Pennsylvania?
No. I'm,
but I remember the doctor.
Yeah.
Landis Heistand. Dr. Landis Heistand.
What a great name.
Yeah, and he smoked a pipe, and he put a fiberglass cast on me, which we didn't have in Albuquerque. And that was the first, it was right at the beginning of fiberglass cast.
You were living in Albuquerque?
Yeah. And yeah, that's where I grew up. But I remember there was a little bit of like resentment on my dad's part. You know, like he kind of did a little research into Dr. Heistand and like, hey, this guy, I don't know if he knows what he's doing.
You mean it's not just comics who have a little thing about
what are you kidding?
Other.
Have you seen how the world is working?
Yeah, I know.
It's grievance driven on all fucking levels.
Yes.
So, yes, everybody has a resentment towards somebody. And they just, now it's just about nursing them. Used to be work them out. Now it's like, how can you keep those fires lit, you fucks?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. I got that. I understood that when I forget the guy's name. He's great, but he wrote a like a brief history of everything or something.
Yeah, one of those guys.
And he
got it all figured out.
No, it was like a history of science and
right.
just the fucking grievances.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You mean like the petty resentments of scientists?
Yeah, not even sure. petty. They were
fucking Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Exactly. Fucking Oppenheimer nailed it. Right. Got to move on to something else.
The fucking Higgs boson was mine. That was mine.
Yeah. Well, there's always that guy. Behind every genius, there's a guy going, fuck that guy. I came up with that before. He saw my shit.
So anyway, what I wanted to say was I had the surgery almost immediately because you have to.
Right.
You know, your foot's wobbling. You're just an eyesore at that point if you're trying to walk or anything.
No, you got to. Like, I went and worked on this Saturday night. I didn't go to the doc. I went and hobbled through two shows in San Diego.
You didn't know it was broken?
I thought I sprained it, but I thought I could deal with it tomorrow, just ice it up. But God damn it, I went the next day, and like I did no good for it. When you got a break, because you always think it's your dumb brain. You're like, look, I can move it.
Yes.
I just keep it moving. It's
you don't want to. No, you don't want to like admit that you're injured for a while now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The fortitude and the discipline I'm having to engage right now.
Do you get into? This happened for a reason.
Well, I talked about that on stage last night. Is that
you did?
I did because
slow down. You need to slow down.
Well, the thing is like it's sort of the way the brain is designed, and I think also how hope works and religion works and all of it. Because like theoretically, I fucked up. I landed on my foot wrong. It was an accident, but it was all self driven, and
what
I blame the shoes.
By the way,
step ups.
Oh,
weight,
shit,
with weights.
I've been doing that.
Yeah. So, and when I came down, you know what I mean? I had weights, and I landed with a twist, right? And I blamed the sneakers, the Hokas, because they have like a 3-inch platform heel on them. So, like, you know, with a little angle, all of a sudden you're falling like a woman in walking up to receive an award.
In a Cecil B. DeMille film.
Well, no, just heels.
Yeah,
you know, like how women walk on heels, I don't fucking know. But, and again, it's
they're amazing creatures.
Well, you said that. So, yeah, they are amazing. But it's not the shoe's fault. It was just an accident. But, like, either I can spend the day going, like, I'm a fucking idiot. Now look at what the fuck is happening. Or what you have to do eventually is, like, well, this is where we're at.
That's
what's happening.
Right.
And you can just sit in that. But then when you have that moment of you know, not clarity, but of acceptance, then you move into like, this happened for a reason. You know, maybe I need to be sedentary for a month and a half and see if I can handle it. Maybe I need to do nothing and then see if I get addicted to drugs.
But
yeah,
you already told me, which I think is just amazing, that you're working out your upper body, which is the way to go because
I can't stop.
Yeah, if you stopped, you'd be fucked, I think.
Well, I'd be fucked mentally. Yeah, I was out. But we'll see. It might be the dumbest thing. I could go with a guy in 2 weeks and he x-rayed it and said, what did you do? My guy just walked on it, and I rode his recumbent bike, and I did upper body. Well, this isn't healed. I'm like, but I kept the boot on. I kept the boot on. You told me to keep the boot on. What the fuck was I supposed to do?
Yeah. I love when doctors say things like, do not move for the next 3 months.
Well, he didn't. Like, he knew. He said, look, you know, keep the boot on. I'm like, well, can I take it off to ice it? Like, no, you can't take it off at all. I'm like,
I've never heard of that. I always would take the boot off at night with
the Achilles. But this is him, the alternative to putting a cast on it, right? So he's saying, wear the boot, but wear it all the time. I mean, he could have fucking put a cast on it.
Right.
So this is like the cast.
Yes.
But he said, I could walk on it. He said, you can walk. With the boot.
Right.
Because it's not weighed on. What?
When I don't know if this will
be. It's about this. It's about moving the foot up and down where you get into trouble with this break.
Yes.
Also,
now, when I want to tell you.
Talk about this every fucking day.
When the boot came off is when I felt the pain. Like,
oh, because
I was in the Achilles, you know, they did the surgery.
Right.
When I was in the boot, I didn't really feel a lot. When the The day the boot came off,
yeah,
and I had to walk again.
That should be the title of your next special. The day the boot came off. Go ahead.
I that hurt a lot, and it took a while, a lot of physical therapy
to figure out how to walk again.
To loosen it up,
right? So because it was tight, it was new. Yeah. You got a new band on.
Yeah, which supposedly they say makes it stronger than the original.
Sure, that's what else are they going to say? Go easy. This thing's delicate. Mm-hmm. I guess they do say that if they have to. But so the summer was shot. You're in a cast?
Yeah, but check it out.
Or a boot. You're
they
in a boot.
Gave me a choice. They said you could go home.
Oh, yeah.
Or you could stay here and they'll, you know, make, you could drive around. We could drive you around in a golf cart and shit. And
still teach?
Yeah, and that's what teach? I did. But I was miserable, though, because I was on painkillers.
Oh. Wait, where's the miserable?
I was just, I couldn't move.
Well, you were that acting teacher who just sits in the chair.
Yes. And I had never taught before. Wow. And I was one of these guys who had favorites.
Yeah.
Like, and I like and the kids who weren't the favorites knew it. And they were like, they were mad at me and they complained to the head of the camp, and I got sat down about mid-semester, my fucking foot kind of throbbing.
You're on.
I'm on.
Percocets.
Whatever it was.
Codeines.
I think I was smoking weed back then.
Yeah.
And
cigarettes?
What?
Smoking cigarettes.
Yeah. Did you smoke cigarettes?
Yeah, just take it easy. All right, go ahead.
I'll never forget going through a jasmine cigarette period. Yeah. You ever do that?
No. Never.
It's hilarious. Anyway.
You coward.
So they said, Eddie, you can't play favorites.
Yeah.
You're making the children angry.
How old are these kids?
One is a great story. Yeah. They were about 13.
Okay. So old enough to know that, you know, to have, they're young adults.
Yeah.
But so they.
I consider them peers because
You're emotionally.
I'm emotionally their age.
Stunted.
Oh, absolutely. I go to 12-year-olds for advice. Kid.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know how to handle this.
What should I do? Should I go to night school?
Yeah.
No. So one of them, her name is Mimi Cave.
Yeah.
She's become a pretty big director in Hollywood.
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you look her up.
Does she remember you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Was she one of your favorites?
Yes.
Oh, good. Thank God.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we'll see if the career gets a nice little bump.
Dude, you're 65. I think if Mimi was looking out for you, she had a lot of opportunities.
Well, she just got big.
Oh, with
she
what?
She did some kind of Marvel
movie.
Yeah.
Mimi
Cave, if you. Anyway.
That's interesting, though.
Mm-hmm.
So now, so you didn't have what it took to be a teacher, because if the kid wasn't talented or wasn't funny.
I didn't care for them. And another thing that I did was I would say to them, let me show you in the scene. Like, I would take it.
What's the class you're teaching?
Just improv.
I think.
Comedy improv.
Okay.
And but I wouldn't do the games thing with them. I think
you didn't
I just,
do the short games that
no,
you'd learned?
They sucked, the games. UCB, they kind of got rid of the games.
Yeah.
It was all this.
Now it's all
Harold.
Harold.
Anyway, so they would say to me, no, why are you always performing? Like, they got angry at me that I would take their time.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't sound like a good teacher.
Oh, I don't think I was.
And these kids sounded like they weren't putting up with it.
They weren't. They were these entitled little.
But they were right. How were they
they
wrong?
They were right.
You awful teacher sitting there with your bum leg.
I did not
up on
get
painkillers.
Invited back. I think the whole Eddie Pepitone experience to Perry Mansfield, who's like injured.
Yeah.
Older man who played favorites with children.
Yeah. Hopped up.
Hopped up on
And you were there.
But I want to say, too, I was broke back then. Very broke.
Right.
And I had to pay for my physical therapy with a performance.
At the school?
They let me. No, at the physical therapy office. They let me pay my bill. They got all the doctors.
Come on.
Yeah, you don't believe that. It's true.
So, you get your foot fixed, and you're covered with insurance or no?
Oh, no.
But they just did it what?
That physical therapy let me do that. Now, the surgeon, I'm still paying.
Today?
Yeah. Yeah. He wrote me the nicest letter because I didn't pay him for a while, saying, you know, it was just the nicest letter.
Yeah. He said, why? Trying to make you.
Basically, underneath all the niceties was like, come on.
Give me some money.
Come on.
Yeah. What are you doing?
Did this.
Don't make me take action. Don't make me take action.
Yeah. 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 Still cleaning up stuff, you know.
You are?
Oh, I mean, that's wreckage of the past, as they call it.
Sure. Right? You know? You're not really still paying for that.
No. Right. No. But I did call that hospital and asked for the former surgeon of the Seattle Seahawks, and they couldn't find him.
Really?
Know? Yeah.
You're trying to make amends?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. They didn't know? They didn't know his name or have him on record?
I was trying to make amends. Then I went out.
On drugs?
Weed.
Weed.
Weed is always my thing.
Yeah. Where are you at with that stuff now?
60 days.
No weed.
Yeah, and I feel really good.
You do?
Like, oh, yeah.
What do you find? I find weed. So we got closure on that story. You didn't go back. You went back to New York. You continued your improv group until...
I continued that for a little bit.
Huh? You crapped out, started doing stand-up?
Yeah.
Right.
And acting. A lot of acting. I always found stand-up terrifying. When I first started, I don't know about you, I would throw up.
I was never a puker.
But
I'll sweat.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll get the puke or the diarrhea thing from nerves. I sweat.
You sweat?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll sweat on stage. I don't anymore, but that's how it used to, my nerves would get me, is I'd sweat.
I mean, I remember when I first went on stage, Mark, do you remember the club Pips?
Yeah, in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Andrew Dice Clay.
Was that his club?
Yep.
I think
so.
Joan Rivers was there. Yeah. A bunch of people. I'll never forget being so nervous that I started, and I wasn't a big drinker.
Yeah.
I started downing rum and cokes,
good.
I got
good
on stage.
You. Yeah.
And the stage was spinning.
Sure.
And I threw up on the Pip stage. And I was never invited back there. Different reasons than the Perry Mansfield.
You threw up?
Yeah, and I had a wig on. One of my bits, and this was me when I first started, screaming with the wig on, going, I like to, and I took a British accent for whatever reason.
Yeah.
Whenever I had long
hair.
Yeah. I like to go into barber shops in Park Slope and yell, how much for a haircut? And I spun around and vomited.
Huh. See, that story to me feels like almost a dark secret. like if you...
That's it?
Sure. You're on stage in a wig yelling in an English accent a pretty mediocre joke.
Oh.
Terrible, right?
Terrible.
Yeah.
I was just doing... When I started, I was so frightened of myself and my past and everything that I would just do characters for a while.
Is that all that character did?
Well, he stopped vomiting, but he would be in a British accent, being like, how much for a haircut, man?
Yeah.
You know, not much after that. Huh. You know, it didn't have much
what was
to
the
go.
Next, what was the next character? Wait,
you know what I realized, and I realize I've been doing this throughout my whole career, is that most of my characters are versions of my father.
Really?
Oh, yeah, of my father's bellicose operatic anger.
Yeah, right, but not that guy with the wig.
No, he was kind of a nice departure.
Maybe you should revisit that guy, just for therapy.
It would be funny if I opened my new special, and I take it off, and now I'm just so honest on stage. Like, I take it off, and I go...
And you throw up.
That, folks, are the benefits of glucathione.
Yeah.
No, and just take it off and go, that's how I started my career, folks.
Yeah.
With a character asking for a haircut.
Yeah.
And
Look where I am now.
Look where I am now.
Now let's get down to it. This is the real Eddie Pepitone.
Let's get down to it. Is not the world a shit show?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of doing like a circus theme for this one.
How'd you get home from Pips?
I was a
train?
Dude.
Someone put you on the train.
I was driven by a guy who I used to floor. I was floor sanding at the time in Staten Island.
Floor sanding.
Floor sanding.
Yeah, yeah. With a mask on.
A lot of times, no. Which is why I wonder if I had, because I suffered from bronchitis after that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And also I've had tinnitus ever since that job because the machines were so loud.
Yeah.
And they didn't give us proper.
Motherfuckers.
Those cocksuckers. They really. Yeah. It was an Italian guy. I remember his name was La Rocca.
Remember that guy, but not the Seahawks doctor.
No, I don't. Well, the Seahawks doctor just did me a solid. And Sal La Rocca just fucking tortured me for a couple of years.
So you got home with.
Yeah, you're a comedian.
Yeah. Who that's him?
Yeah.
So who drove you home?
My friend Andre, who was quote unquote my manager, he got me the Pips gig. It was an open mic. The reason why I got so drunk is that I was at the end of the list or whatever.
Sure. No, you waited all night. I saw everybody else. Yeah, that was how everybody got drunk. You watch the audience drift out.
Yeah.
You know,
I never got drunk again after that shit.
Barely wanted to be there in the first place, and you just watch everyone go on and then watch audience leave.
What horror.
It's like, oh, yeah, you're next.
What four people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so it scared you straight, though. No more drinking.
I didn't drink at shows after that, you know. Mm.
All right, so the circus theme. Tell me how that plays out in your head.
Well, you know, that's what I was thinking, that – and I think this relates to the absurdism.
I like absurdism as some sort of
– But I think it relates to the absurdism that I'm talking about on stage. I feel like the world doesn't make sense.
I like the word absurdum. Is that a word?
No.
Like it's like, you know, it's like a substance or a material thing.
Yes.
Oh, you've just traveled into the absurdum, which is the seventh level of. Yeah.
See what I mean
yeah.
about this is good.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty funny. Well, I don't know if it's
just
funny.
A pitch, man. It's just a pitch.
It's funnier than the haircut thing.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah.
The world makes no sense. There's no truth. Lies have become the norm.
Yeah, sure.
The cyber stuff has made us completely fucking insane.
Dissociative.
Yes, that's a great way to put it.
Yes.
Dissociative.
Yeah, we're all living in the absurdum.
The absurdum. I made
a word.
Well, I came up with it, so
it's yours. It's all you. I couldn't sell it. You sell it.
What else was I going to say about the cyber
circus,
stuff?
The circus.
Yeah, it's just like what the fuck is going. I was thinking of being like, you know, what do they call it? The MC in a circus, the guy who's in the center. The ringmaster.
This is a word.
No.
It is.
Read it. And how's it spelled?
It's spelled absurdum. Oh, noun. Yes. Disproof of a proposition by showing an absurdity to which it leads when carried to its logical conclusion. That's the name of your special. Absurdum.
You think so?
Reducto. Ad absurdum.
I've heard ad absurdum.
The argument traces back to ancient Greek philosophy and has been used throughout history in both formal and mathematical and philosophical reasoning, as well as in debate. Okay?
Wow.
The absurdum conclusion of reductio ad absurdum argument can take the range of forms as these examples below. The earth cannot be flat. Otherwise, since the earth is assumed to be finite in extent, we would find people falling off the edge.
Right, right. So it's a logical
ad absurdum.
Yeah, it's a logic thing.
Yeah.
Okay. But also, you know what we really saw? Guys like me, anyway,
yeah.
I think a lot of people, way too much information.
For you to take in?
Yeah.
No, it's a brain breaker, dude. Your phone is just it's like a trauma generator.
Yes, a trauma generator.
Yeah, it's like, hold on, I want to check.
Yes.
I'm feeling okay.
I'm feeling okay.
Let me blast my brain with 900 things in 4 minutes.
Exactly.
Half of them very disturbing.
So, and I've had rules that I follow for a little while, then break them. Like, okay, when I first get up, I'm just going to not pick up that fucking phone for the first 40 minutes of the day.
How's that go?
It comes and goes.
Yeah.
You know, because there are times where I'll wake up in the middle of the night. I'm terrible sleeper.
What do you go? Yeah, I don't look at my phone. I try to get back to sleep.
But I because looked at I, it I the believe, other night.
Huh?
I looked at it the other night, and I look at a story. I go to CNN, let's say, which is one of my stupid, like, because that gives me a buzz.
You want to hear my new joke?
Yeah.
Like, I say, is it even possible to have a good day anymore? me and you are more similar than you think.
No, we are very.
And then I go, like, you know, you get up, you're like, this might be it. I feel all right. Then you look at the news feed on your phone. You're like, fuck, not today. And then I realized, that could be an Eddie Pepitone joke without the fuck. But you're not a big fuck guy.
Oh, I am.
Oh, you are now? Okay. But anyway, so here's the tag, though. Yeah. Like, then I realized you can change the settings on your news feed. I had mine set on panic. But if you set it on celebrities and weather, it's an easier day.
By the way, weather has become a thing with me now. Like,
all I know is it's raining in California, and I love it.
I do, too.
Dude, not to worry about fire. I don't give a fuck about the flood. I'm just sort of like, not to be daily on the daily, worried about things on fire.
By the way, that's maybe my second biggest reason that I'm going to move.
The fire.
I'm going to go back to, my sister has
going back to Colorado.
Beautiful
you
house.
You teach at the school? I'm back, you guys. I figured some stuff out.
They have
Look,
my,
I'm walking.
They have
I'm
my walking. Boot. They have my boot hanging from their
Never again. That's a warning
again.
To you. Your sister what?
She's got a beautiful house with her husband, and it's a house they're only in part-time in Woodstock, New York, in the Hudson Valley, and I'm thinking that's the place. That's the place to sit this shit out.
Really?
For me, because Southern Cal, for me, is the fire thing scares me incredibly. And I think we
it's
got
heavy
super
weather.
Lucky last year.
Oh, dude, the rains, it's been great. And there's
it's
a lot
been
of,
great.
We got some stocked up water now in the ground and in the holes. Plenty of water around.
Do we?
Yeah. Mm. We're out of the drought for sure.
Well, I hope so.
Yeah, I don't know
that,
how long that
You know, went. When we came out of the drought.
I'm now going to get emails like, dude, do your research. Drought isn't over.
Right. But when we came out of the drought, part of me was unhappy because it totally affected my apocalyptic scenarios that I've been talking about on stage.
Selfish.
Yes, very, well, obviously, absurdly selfish.
Yeah, absurd.
But the amount of information that bombards me. The other night I wake up and I don't know why I looked at the phone with the news at 4:30 a.m., but there was an article that I just happened to click on about bullying, about a young girl who killed herself being bullied. And it made me so upset thinking of the people who would bully her.
Yeah.
Like what kind of...
Yeah, like a teacher of an improv class who didn't quite know how to do it.
I would never bully. I would ignore.
Oh, okay.
I was dismissive.
Oh, that's
the way I was dismissed.
There you go.
But no, I mean, I just think that
hurt
it's a breakdown. The bullying to me is a reflection of the breakdown of our
society. There's no tolerance or decency out the window. Double down on the bullshit. There's no.
Yes.
It's like this or that. Zeros and ones, black and white, go fuck yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I don't know. Do you think, I guess we combat it with comedy.
Combat it?
I don't know.
I mean,
yeah, no, I get it.
We talk about it a little bit. You said something. I don't know if you talk about this on stage, but what do you tell audiences? What's the job of the entertainer at this point?
Yeah, right.
Do you talk about that?
Sure. I mean, I'll say that on stage.
You will,
You know, what do you want from me? Well, you want me to distract
that I say all the time.
You want me to distract you? I don't think I'm that guy. Yeah, I know. I've definitely explored that. There's not much I haven't explored, really, up there.
I know.
You know, but I mean, but that's, I'm aware of that, I'm not, you know, an entertainer. Oddly, I'm not, I'm an entertainer.
You are.
I know, but it's not like, I don't go up there exuding, I don't love to be loved, which is a fundamental problem. Like, I think.
I love to be loved.
I know. Well, and I think people feel that. I think that people feel that. And I think that with a lot of the great entertainers, it will be, and it's a trauma-based thing, too, is they go up there and they want the adoration. Me,
you
like,
never were like that?
Not really. If you adore me, I'm like, what's wrong with you? You love me? But why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm
always on a tightrope between receiving whatever I'm getting back and pushing it away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when you don't have a good set, in quotes.
Yeah.
You get pissed, I would think.
I get more embarrassed.
Oh, I do too.
Yeah. I mean, I don't like I get angry at a crowd if I can't get through and I know I'm doing okay.
Right.
But a lot of times it's you know, it takes two to tango with that shit.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes crowds are shitty.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. But sometimes like it's like I'm coming into it wrong or I'm a little defensive lately. I've been a little snappier than I used to be. I'm kind of like.
Ever since the foot.
Yeah. I'm a little untethered, which is good for me to write. You know, it's better.
By the way, one thing you said before.
Yeah.
Is there a filter for the news? Like, can you set it
probably.
To just...
I don't know.
That's funny. Set it to panic. I was going to say...
That's the default setting.
I was going to say that meditation, like the answer to so much shit, is, okay, just fucking... let it go, which is basically meditation summed up.
Sure.
Let it go.
Yeah.
Let it go.
For 20 minutes at a time.
But then you have to remember to do it during the fucking day.
No, I know. I did it for a minute.
You don't meditate?
No.
You're too active mentally.
No, I don't know. I sit. You know, I can play some guitar. I mean, I had no problem meditating. It didn't drive me nuts. To do it, like during COVID, I sat sometimes.
By the way, we were talking about what is the message. I thought the message of COVID was human race, stop. Completely fucking stop. Stop the growth. Like the fact when COVID hit and we all noticed, my God, there's a lot more birds in the sky.
Yeah.
The
animals are coming down from the mountain.
What?
The animals are coming down from the mountain. Yeah.
Shit like that.
Yeah.
I thought
they're
that
taking
was
it back. They're like, they're gone. Excellent.
They did when that, what was the thing in Chernobyl?
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen or read about how.
Yeah, those animals didn't fare well when they took over Chernobyl.
They took it over.
Now there's all kinds of new species of animals.
The three-headed duck is very violent. Very violent.
Yeah, stay away from that three-headed duck.
Do you like this joke? I have a new joke. I go, my credit is so bad that my credit report is just a picture of a duck getting beaten with a pipe.
Absurdum. You're living in the absurdum.
There you go.
Telling you.
And I'll just go to the audience. Doesn't make sense, but funny, right?
Of course.
And they're all like, ah, yeah.
Yeah, of course. That's like you could do that do it in the tone of Don Rickles.
He stopped making sense toward the end. Yeah, the Japanese guy.
It never made sense.
He never made sense.
Not really.
Not really. A lot of attitude.
It was all timing.
It was all timing.
Yeah.
Timing.
Look at this guy with the hair. How about those ears? What do you got going? Did it come with shoes? What is he talking about?
Exactly.
You got pockets on that jacket? What does that mean?
Could you imagine him sitting in a coffee shop and writing that? Do you have pockets in a jacket?
It was a flow.
Yeah. The flow. The are we back to the circus
Sure. Theme. So we okay. The ringmaster. Fine. We're going to wrap it up with the, you like kind of walking me through the circus. Of
well,
do
I think that we live in a circus of shit. Hmm. You know, another thing I want to. It's a shit show. Welcome, sure. Welcome. Like I see myself in this special with the top hat. And yeah. The spotlight going, welcome to the shit show.
Yeah, do that. Yeah.
What do you think?
I like it.
You like it,
yeah,
right?
It's better than the English guy in the wig.
Welcome to the shit show.
And then what do you do? It's like cabaret.
Well,
it's almost like the movie Cabaret with Joel Grey. Where you're gonna,
oh, there you go.
You should start some music and dance a little.
Come to. Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's pretty good. And like, we've got the climate breaking down.
Yeah, there you go.
We've got fascism coming.
Yeah.
Yet people keep having children.
Yeah, there you go.
What are you going to teach them? How to gather your documents in 30 seconds will be the biggest, you know.
Yeah, but that's interesting because Cabaret was on the verge of fascism too.
That's right.
There Ooh, we go.
It's coming together.
Totally. You can have all that.
I could have all the shit I thought of.
That
I know. You put it to yeah.
The music.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
a big
yeah.
shift.
You'll definitely be
maybe
an EP on this thing.
Maybe you get the music director of that improv group to come.
Ding, 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 ding.
Good talking to you, Eddie.
Great talking to you, Mark.
There you go. Exciting Eddie. He's taping a new special on May 31st at Lincoln Hall in Chicago. Go to eddiepepitone.com to get tickets and see his other dates. You can also listen to Eddie's podcast, Apocalypse Soon. Hang out for a minute, people.
Robinhood bietet Ihnen Zugang zum US-Aktienmarkt. Sie können Krypto zu niedrigen Kosten kaufen und verkaufen. Alles an einem Ort. Auf Robinhood. Investment- und Kryptowertedienstleistungen für EU-Kunden werden von der Robinhood Europe UAB angeboten, die von der Zentralbank Litauens als Finanzmakler und Kryptowertedienstleister zugelassen ist und deren Aufsicht unterliegt. Termingeschäfte auf US-Aktien und ETF-Token bergen ein erhebliches Risiko und sind nicht für alle Anleger geeignet. Bitte überlegen Sie sich sorgfältig, ob Investments in derartige Finanzinstrumente mit Blick auf Ihre Erfahrung, Risikotoleranz und Finanzlage für Sie geeignet sind. Beachten Sie die geltenden Beschränkungen und Zulassungsvoraussetzungen.
Hey, people, we got more outtakes. More outtakes from recent interviews are now posted for Full Marin subscribers. Go check out the latest bonus episode to hear more from my talk with Lily Gladstone.
High school was more embracing, but, you know, it's like you have to do musicals. You have to do comedies. You have to do, and you're like, I wanted to get into the gritty stuff. I wanted to do black box theater.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So I started doing college theater, but then I also did camera coaching with a woman who worked just out of her house, Colleen Patrick.
And what was the intent? Commercials and like practical things or really just a
Not
broader?
Not really. Just getting comfortable with cameras and auditioning.
Huh.
And language of film. When I was taking camera acting classes, a lot of my curriculum was just watching movies and studying performances. And I got a really strong sense of angles, how to play to camera. How little it takes to say so much.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a transition that's hard for a lot of actors who are theater trained is like trusting that if you think it, the camera will see it.
You don't need to amplify it.
Yeah. You don't need to be demonstrative. You just have to be.
That's so good because I still don't know what camera's mine generally when I'm on a set. I guess I'm focused on you.
Exactly.
I don't know what's happening. And I don't know if I ever noticed it until I interviewed Jeff Daniels, and he just looks at me and goes, you got to learn how to work your face. He's like, 90% of film acting is your face.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm a mouth breather, so my mouth's always hanging open. So now I got a lot to worry about in my next role. To get every bonus episode plus every past episode of WTF without ads, go to the link in the episode description or go to WTFpod.com and click on WTF Plus. And a reminder before we go, this podcast is hosted by Acast. Guitar time. Boomer lives. Monkey and LaFonda. Cat angels everywhere.